From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, the rector of St. Mark's. Welcome.
Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. The assembly of the elders of the people rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean, and when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who himself was in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other because they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted altogether, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us." This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city, and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one they had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and they handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country. And they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Please stand. The Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. While the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for the spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, please be seated. I just read to you the gospel, the passion narrative from the Gospel of Luke, and you'll remember back about 5-6 weeks ago, we read to you the temptation narrative, and the third temptation of Jesus goes, the devil took him to the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem and said, "Throw yourself down, because it is written, he has given his angels charge over you. And you will not hurt yourself, lest you dash your foot against a stone." It is not a secret that I have been in a Jungian analysis for about 16 years. As a mentor who is an Episcopal priest, but also a Jungian analyst, and he and I have been working together, and a part of that work is to analyze your dreams. And so I spend a lot of time analyzing or jotting down as best as I can remember my dreams. And I'm always fascinated by certain themes in my dreams. One of them is flying. I am often in a helicopter or an airplane or going up a ski lift or climbing up a mountain, but it's high up, flying. Another one of them is water. Either in an ocean, or I'm in an animal of the ocean, or I'm in some sort of river or some sort of womb water symbol. And the third one that I'm quite fond of is the ground. I'm under the ground, I'm in the ground, but I'm on the ground. And when I bring up my dreams to my mentor analyst, we always talk about the flying dreams of inflation, that my ego is inflated and I'm thinking too much of myself. And the water is always about transformation, that I'm in some sort of transformative place where I am changing like a butterfly, like a caterpillar to a butterfly. And the ground is often depressing, like I am so heavy, the gravity has pulled me down. One time I said, "Do you think I'm depressed?" And he said, "No, you get happy and sad and you have this victim thing you do." And I went, "Oh, I have a victim thing. What is this victim thing I do?" It was the most eye-opening moment of the conversation that I realized that I can be a victim. But it would be surprising for you to know that clergy have very interesting egos where we get this position of place where I get to stand in front of you and talk at you for as long as I want to, and you all have to endure it. That could make my ego sort of inflated. But as we know, everything that goes up must come down. If you were paying attention and are beginning to kind of feel it, the Bible is no less filled with symbols of inflation and deflation, of ego and archetype. I told you a story out on the porch. There's a very interesting, subtle thing in that story, the riding of a donkey that had never been ridden. You hold that animal, in tension with what we do know, what happens on Friday after this crucifixion. Jesus is put into a grave that was brand new. Those are two interesting images to me. They don't throw palms, by the way. We sort of pulled one on you. We gave you palms. But the people throw their clothes. And clothing inside your dreams is often symbolic of your persona. Put on a tuxedo, putting on a party dress, being found naked. All of those things are persona. So the people are literally strewing themselves in front of Jesus as he rides along this colt. Being set up high on the pinnacle, the temptation by the devil. All of those begin to feel a lot like you and me, the personas that you put on. I love the question when you're out and about, what do you do? And the response is, "I am a doctor." Oh, you do medicine? I am a doctor. What are you if you're not a doctor? Are you a human? We respond with what we do. What do you do, Patrick? Well, I am a priest. No, Patrick, you're not a priest. You're a human who's been called to be a priest. Those are different things. What you do and who you are different. And when you have these dreams of persona, you also know that the persona can be ripped away. It's the ripping away of the persona, which is this crucifixion. Jesus is having everything taken from him. Everything. And he is lifted up on a cross. Not in some sort of hosanna, but in a crucify. And we, like dreams, we are all the people in the story. In your dream, you're all the things. So we are the people who cry hosanna. We are the people who cry crucify. We are even Jesus himself in this vulnerable position of being destroyed, because we are all vulnerable and will be destroyed. We are vapor, really, here for a second and gone. So we have a dilemma, and we've been given a gift. We've been given this holy week. So tonight, you hear of the triumphal entry, of the inflation that we can give each other. You heard of powerful men doing evil things to the most vulnerable. Tomorrow, we'll be reminded of what it means to be human and what's really important in our humanity. Tuesday is St. Joseph's Day, the day that the church remembers Joseph, who married that girl despite what the people said about her. He's called Joseph the Just to this day. Wednesday, we'll argue about who's great and what greatness is. Thursday, we'll be reminded of when we were commanded to do the Eucharist. Friday, on Good Friday, we'll hear the awful truth of what our crucifixion memories hold, leading us to a glorious Easter morning. You get to do that, and every day you walk, you get to be reminded and reminded and reminded of what we proclaim in here. The only thing that lasts, it's not temples. It's not power. It's love. The legacy that you all will leave will be the love. And so we proclaim that here. We're reminded of it here. We walk in it here. Love. Amen.
Winner!
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.